Can't Win Me Back. Chapter 1821. Javier's tight security was clearly a silent competition with Jasper. They were more like archenemies than father and son. "What do you want to do, Lice?" Jasper asked softly. "I want to draw Betty's blood for DNA testing." Both Jasper and Xavier were taken aback. "Betty's malice seems like a genetic mutation in your family. I'm curious to see if she truly belongs in your family." Recently, Alyssa had become increasingly suspicious. When she compared photos of Javier and Betty, she saw no resemblance between them. Lauren's features at least shared some similarities with Javier. What was more perplexing was that Betty didn't even resemble Sophia. This didn't make sense. "It doesn't matter if we can't get close to her right now," Alyssa said with a cold smile. "She'll have to go to the hospital for a checkup sooner or later. When she's abroad, obtaining a blood sample from her will be easy." "Lice, you seem very confident." Jasper sensed from her cunning and sly gaze that things weren't as simple as they seemed. "AIDS has an 80% transmission rate during high-risk sexual behavior. We'll see if Betty is one of the lucky 20%. Crossing her arms, Alyssa said coldly, "Besides, I've seen the medical report of the man she had sex with. He has more than one illness. Betty will have to go to the hospital." Suddenly, silence filled the air. Jasper's eyes widened, and his lips slightly parted in shock. He remained speechless for a moment. His woman was an angel when she was kind, but when she turned evil, even the devil would surrender. Even Xavier, at the end of the phone, fell silent. He pondered the idea of writing a note to slip into Jasper's wallet, a reminder that read, "Never provoke Madam." Alyssa had already eaten, but Jasper was still hungry after a busy day. So she personally cooked a flavorful meatloaf for him. To balance the meal, she also served some pickles, showing great consideration. Jasper put a big piece of meatloaf in his mouth and occasionally munched on the pickles, savoring the delicious flavors. "These pickles are so refreshing and crunchy. Where did you buy them?" After finishing his meal, he suddenly remembered his gentlemanly manners and quickly straightened up, using his hands to elegantly wipe his lips with a napkin. "I made them myself," Alyssa replied, bringing a glass of warm water to him. Jasper's eyes widened as he captured her hand. "You made them?" "Yeah, when I was at Grandpa's house to keep Lauren company. Since I had nothing to do, I asked Mr. Gorham to buy ingredients and pickled a lot. They're all stored in the fridge." Alyssa pressed her lips together. "Don't think I made them for you. They're for Grandpa. He loves pickles. He can't enjoy his meals without them." Jasper's heart warmed. He squeezed her waist with his hands and lifted her onto his thigh. His Adam's apple bobbed. "Who's got such a considerate and sensible wife? I wonder." Alyssa pretended to be dumb. She lightly traced her fingertips along his jawline, admiring her reflection in his captivating eyes. "Mine, mine. You're mine." Jasper's soft murmurs struck a chord with her. He brushed his warm lips against her neck, sending shivers down her spine. Her delicate skin responded with a blush of cute allure, looking endearing and enticing. "Do you have something on your mind?" Alyssa gently stroked his brow. Chapter 1822. If Grandpa hadn't revealed it in a fit of anger, I wouldn't have known that Grandma was deaf in her left ear. Feeling guilty, Jasper chuckled bitterly. Isn't it ridiculous? As the grandson of this family, I spent the most time with Grandpa and Grandma, yet I never noticed her abnormality. What kind of grandson am I? I knew about that. Grandpa told me about it during that Christmas when I went to visit Grandma with him. Alyssa stopped abruptly when she inadvertently mentioned Christmas. She dared not continue. It would be Christmas in less than 2 months. The Taylors loved festivities. Every year, they would set up a grand and magnificent Christmas tree in the living room. Jonah would personally prepare gifts for all family members and give the helpers in the house bonuses out of his own pocket. But because of the child she lost, Alyssa no longer dared to celebrate Christmas. She wouldn't even return home on Christmas Day. However, that was in the past. Now, she avoided mentioning it because she feared it would bring up unhappy memories for Jasper. She was afraid of upsetting him. Sure enough, his eyes reddened instantly. He hugged her tightly and hesitated for a long while before finally speaking, "Thank you, Lys. Thank you for everything you've done for Grandpa and me over the years." He couldn't continue his words anymore. "Since you know how much I've done, you'll have to treat me well for the rest of our lives," Alyssa said with a bright and cheerful smile as she patted his trembling back. "Can I stay at your house for Christmas this year?" Jasper's gaze was intense. His long lashes were trembling as though they were restraining his surging emotions. "I heard the Taylors have a big Christmas tree. I'd like to see it." Alyssa nestled against his heaving chest. "Going there means you'll have to help out." "Sure," Jasper replied warmly. They tacitly avoided delving into their heartaches, yet they still understood the deep affection and remorse in each other's eyes, showcasing their profound love to the fullest. No words were necessary after years of love. "Mr. Jasper, madam." Ben hurried in. Seeing the affectionate scene, he quickly covered his eyes to avoid intruding. Jasper remained calm, but Alyssa felt embarrassed. Blushing, she jumped down from him. "Ahem. Mr. Cyrus is here. He's in the living room." The couple walked out hand in hand to welcome Cyrus. "Cyrus." Alyssa greeted her brother with a radiant smile. "Lys." Cyrus sat on the couch, smiling. He was dressed in a sharply tailored black coat over a black shirt with the collar casually unbuttoned. Despite his relaxed style, his naturally noble presence still shone through. "Cyrus," Jasper greeted him as well. "Hi," Cyrus responded briefly. Yet his gaze unintentionally wandered elsewhere, as if searching for something. Alyssa noticed and smiled faintly. "Hungry? If you haven't eaten, stay and have a meal. I'll cook for you." "No, thanks. Let me get straight to the point." Cyrus frowned, his expression serious. "Lys, I went all the way to headquarters to investigate the person you mentioned, but there's no background information on him. There are no DNA or fingerprint samples in the system. This means two possibilities: either he's never committed any crimes in the country, or he's not a citizen here. Chapter 1823. Alyssa's and Jasper's expressions turned solemn after listening. If not, it could be that he cleans up the scene thoroughly every time he commits a crime, leaving no trace behind. But that doesn't quite fit the modus operandi of an outlaw or top-tier assassin. Cyrus traced his jawline with his finger as he calmly analyzed the situation. So, I'm inclined to believe he's a hired assassin from abroad. If that's the case, it'll be even more difficult to investigate him. Once this job is done, he'll disappear immediately. He'd probably use a false identity to flee the country. Jasper's gaze darkened gradually. Didn't Ms. Angelina see his face? She can come to our station tomorrow and describe his face based on her memory. I can arrange for a top-notch profiler from our city to come and draw a portrait of that assassin. Cyrus' eyes flashed with determination. Having a sketch might provide more clues. We can't delay too long. People's memories fade, and the likeness of the portrait can become distorted. The most accurate portrait will be drawn while the memory is fresh. Alyssa and Jasper exchanged looks. Just as they were about to speak, a sweet and composed voice spoke from behind. I remember his face. Cyrus swiftly lifted his gaze. Seeing Lauren descend the stairs gracefully, he felt his heart throb in his chest. He hurriedly stood up from the couch. The hot blood that once flowed calmly through his veins now seemed to stir restlessly. Jasper suddenly remembered. Right, Lauren had contact with that man too. Pressing her lips together, Alyssa walked over to Lauren and gently wrapped her arm around her shoulder. Lauren, we'll contact Angelina tomorrow and have her assist with this. You don't need to do anything or think about it. The most important thing is to focus on getting well. She knew that although Lauren seemed fine on the outside, her soul was suffering from the trauma of her episodes and the torment of her breakup with Landon. Alyssa wished she could find the time to arrange modified electroconvulsive therapy for Lauren, hoping it would help her completely forget that painful day. She couldn't bear to see Lauren forced to relieve that trauma, especially during such a critical time, which would only compound her suffering. Lauren, don't force yourself, Cyrus said as he looked at her deeply. His voice was slightly hoarse. Your health and well-being are more important than anything else. Alyssa, Cyrus, it's okay. Lauren gently shook her head, and her eyes showed determination. I'm fine now. I just want to help you all as much as I can. And I also want to catch that person to uncover the terrifying conspiracy behind it. I want to know who is manipulating the Harpers, using me, and hurting Landon. Alyssa's and Jasper's hearts clenched with a bitter ache. In the past few days, they hadn't told her much. Yet Lauren, clever as she was, had pieced together the sequence of events from their scattered words. Staring into Lauren's reddened eyes, he sensed her deep affection when she mentioned Landon. She loved him deeply, and he could see that. She loved him so deeply that there was no room for another person in her heart. Jasper looked surprised. Lauren, you still love I just want to do something more for him. Lauren interrupted him immediately with a smile. He's always taken care of me, accommodated me, and sacrificed for me. I want to do everything I can before officially leaving him. Leaving? Cyrus stared at her wide-eyed, and his heart pounded intensely. But he didn't have the intention to take advantage of the situation, nor did he feel any joy in this opportunity. He was only worried about whether she could handle it. Alyssa lowered her gaze to hide her red-rimmed eyes. Sensing her emotional fluctuations, Jasper took her hand and pressed it against his chest, silently comforting her. At this moment, Cyrus approached Lauren. His tall and robust figure, leaning toward her, exuded strength and authority, yet his gaze toward her was filled with gentleness. Chapter 1824. Cyrus. Lauren lifted her pretty face. Lauren, thank you for agreeing to help. I'll wait for you at the station tomorrow. Jasper and Lyce will take you there. Cyrus' heart melted. His hand itched to reach out and gently pat her head. But ultimately, he restrained himself by clenching his hands tightly. Just then, Lauren parted her lips and said, "There's no need for that. I can draw it." "What? You can draw it?" The three of them were shocked. "That man left a deep impression on me. I won't forget his face, no matter how much time has passed." Lauren took a deep breath to steady herself. "I'm quite good at drawing portraits. I think instead of describing his features, I can draw him myself for a more accurate representation." To focus without external distractions, Lauren went upstairs alone to work on her drawing while the other three patiently waited in the living room. After some hesitation, Cyrus finally couldn't help but ask, "Lyce, did Lauren and Mr. Landon break up?" "It was Lauren's decision." Alyssa sighed, and her beautiful eyes were clouded with concern. "But I think Landon won't let go. He loves Lauren deeply." Cyrus tightened his grip on his cup. His voice carried a hint of melancholy as he said, "And Lauren loves him deeply too. With Landon's personality, it's inevitable that there will be another heart-wrenching entanglement." Jasper expressed his concern. "Losing Lauren, Landon might spiral into a hysterical frenzy. He wouldn't let any Harpers who harmed Lauren off the hook. He wouldn't spare himself either." Alyssa could tell Cyrus' feelings for Lauren. After thinking for a moment, she spoke calmly, as if she had reached a decision. "Cyrus, if you're not too busy, why not take a few days off and join us to spend time with Lauren? With an extra person around to liven things up, she might feel better." Jasper glanced at her discreetly, knowing her intentions. "I'll definitely be there if Lauren needs me." Cyrus' lashes fluttered as he tried to restrain himself. "But right now, she needs you and Landon more than she needs me." Alyssa fell silent. She wasn't deliberately trying to matchmake Cyrus and Lauren. She just wanted everyone around her to be happy. She couldn't bear to see her brother suppress his emotions and suffer from lovesickness. Time ticked by. After what seemed like an eternity, Lauren returned to the living room with a sheet of paper. She handed over her portrait to the three of them. They gathered eagerly and flipped the paper over. On the pristine white paper, the man's gaze was as cold as a blade, his eyebrows sharp, and his facial contours strikingly handsome. The drawing was extremely vivid. Jasper stared at the portrait and couldn't help but marvel inwardly that it was indeed an impressively striking face. Just as he raised his gaze, he noticed Alyssa and Cyrus staring at the portrait in astonishment. Their expressions mirrored each other's. There was shock, surprise, and disbelief on their faces. "Lice, Cyrus, what's wrong?" Jasper couldn't help but worry. Alyssa's hand trembled uncontrollably as she held the portrait. Her eyes suddenly reddened. "Lauren, are you sure this is what he looks like? Are you sure?" Chapter 1825. "I'm sure." Lauren nodded firmly. In an unusual departure from his usual composure, Cyrus fixated on the portrait, his usually steady demeanor giving way to a tense stillness, his eyes tinged with red. Concerned, Lauren approached him, noting the uncharacteristic reaction. "Cyrus, are you all right?" Cyrus responded hoarsely, "I'm sorry. I need to go to the restroom." "Where is it?" Jasper raised his hand, indicating the direction. Cyrus immediately left with purposeful strides. "Lice, do you recognize him?" Jasper hugged Alyssa by the waist and asked with anxious urgency. Alyssa took a deep breath, striving to quell her tumultuous emotions. "He bears a striking resemblance to my late brother, Damien, who perished in a plane crash." Jasper and Lauren widened their eyes in disbelief. Damien's untimely demise had left an enduring wound in the Taylor family's collective heart. Tears welled in Alyssa's eyes as she reflected on the painful memory. "Our family refrained from discussing Damien ever since his passing, especially in the presence of Mandy and Cyrus. Not out of forgetfulness, but because his memory was too painful to confront." Alyssa closed her eyes, inundated by memories. The ache of loss resurfaced, threatening to overwhelm her. "I can still vividly recall the day of Damien's passing. Clad in his pilot uniform and a piece of luggage in hand, he stood in the sunlit courtyard, waving goodbye with such vitality. We never imagined it would be our final farewell. A fleeting goodbye transformed into an eternal parting." Jasper's grip on Alyssa tightened, a heavy sadness settling upon him like an oppressive weight, suffocating in its intensity. He wanted to offer solace, yet any words seemed feeble in the shadow of such profound loss. Lauren's sudden realization jolted her, her gaze following Cyrus' departure with concern etched on her features. "The person in the portrait doesn't only look like Damien, he is the spitting image of him." Alyssa's trembling fingertips tightened around the paper. "But the authorities confirmed there were no survivors from Damien's flight. It's inconceivable. This is unbelievable." Jasper gently caressed Alyssa's shoulder. His voice was slightly hoarse as he said, "Even if you didn't see his body, the chances of surviving such a plane crash are nearly zero. Plus, if Damien miraculously survived the crash, why didn't he reach out to the family? Could it just be a coincidence?" As Cyrus returned, his attempt to conceal his emotions faltered, his reddened eyes betraying his inner turmoil. Could this person be Damien's double? How else could they resemble each other so strikingly? "It's a possibility," Jasper murmured. "After the plane crash, Winston and Mandy never lost hope. They tirelessly searched for Damien, leveraging every connection they had. Mandy's refusal to accept his loss, fueled by the absence of definitive proof, kept her clinging to the belief that her son might still be out there. Damien's supposed death anniversary was never recognized by her. Instead, she celebrated his birthdays, holding on to the hope that he'd return from what seemed like an extended journey. Alyssa felt a sharp pang in her chest. I can't fathom how Mandy would react if she encountered this person. She'd be driven to find him, even if just to catch a glimpse. Cyrus studied the man's face intently. He bears resemblance to Damien, yet his eyes lack Damien's warmth. Damien's gaze was like a tranquil waterfall, but this man's eyes seemed devoid of emotion, like a cold blade. A heavy silence descended, thick with unspoken thoughts. Jasper's jaw tightened as a realization dawned on him. Speak your mind, Jasper. It's all right, Alyssa urged, sensing his turmoil. Lys, remember the woman who looked exactly like you? The one that Jameson kept by his side? You mean Amber? I remember. Jameson used her to deceive me, making me believe she was you. It was a trap. Jasper's expression darkened with doubt. This man's resemblance to Damien seems too convenient. It's intertwined with Landon and Lauren's situation. Could Jameson have a hand in Preston and Zoe's affairs? Chapter 1826. Jasper's words snapped Alyssa out of her somber reverie. Their minds couldn't help but gravitate toward that possibility, and the more they considered it, the more plausible and concerning it seemed. We've discussed this before. Preston and Zoe lacked the capability to find such a skilled accomplice on their own. There must be someone behind the scenes aiding them. Jasper's eyes gleamed with insight as he methodically analyzed, what if it's Jameson seeking revenge? It's conceivable. Moreover, Cyrus mentioned earlier that the killer is likely a foreigner. Jameson has been in Contina for years, it wouldn't be difficult for him to recruit assistance for Harper and Zoe. Revenge? If Jameper wanted revenge, it should be directed at us. What does it have to do with Landon and Lauren? Alyssa's frustration bubbled to the surface. Does he have nothing better to do than meddle in the Harper group's affairs? Lauren is my sister, and Landon is like a brother to me, Jasper replied, his voice tinged with suppressed anger and loathing. Now, do you understand, Lys? Aware of Lauren's presence, he tempered his words, though his emotions simmered beneath the surface. Jameson was a deceitful manipulator, a predator masquerading as a friend, and a malevolent force lurking in the shadows. It seemed plausible that he would seek revenge on those close to Jasper, since he couldn't directly target him. Jameson was acutely aware that Lauren held the highest place in Landon's heart. Deliberately, he entrusted the knife to the Harpers, intending to wield it as a weapon to shatter the bond between Landon and Lauren. He wanted Jasper's loved ones to experience the pain of losing someone dear. This pain undoubtedly felt like using a blunt knife on Jasper's heart. Alyssa's breath slowed as she pondered deeply. Your analysis holds merit, Jasper, but these are distinct circumstances. Does Jameper need to employ the same tactic twice? He orchestrated the manipulation of a woman resembling me to undermine you, clouding your judgment. Why dispatch an assassin resembling Damien? It seems superfluous. Moreover, Jameson was known for his meticulous nature. Wouldn't we connect the dots and discern his involvement if he repeated the same scheme? Would he be so careless as to leave a trail for us? Jasper's analysis holds some merit, Cyrus said, his eyes serious and piercing. he had returned to his former glory as a man of the force. Jameson has a motive to use the Harper Group and Landon, but Lice is right too. He doesn't need a Damien look-alike. If this man appears, it could cause more trouble than necessary. Lauren, who had been silent, suddenly spoke. Her nervous gaze flickered to Cyrus' serious face. Cyrus, are you saying the Schmidt guy might not be the one who hurt Landon? There could be someone else. Alyssa and Jasper were taken aback. In the past, Lauren was a cautious and unassuming person. She seemed naive and innocent. Landon treated her like a delicate flower. However, she was perceptive and knew more than she let on. Yes, Lauren. You're smart, Cyrus said, meeting her gaze with a gentle smile, though his heart ached. It has something to do with Jameson, but the killer might not be connected to him. Someone else could be aiding him. Lauren's concern and vigilance stemmed from the impact on her beloved. Someone else lurks behind Jameson, Jasper, and Alyssa concurred simultaneously. The web of connections grew more intricate, suggesting the imminent emergence of a new player. Was this a harbinger of the enigmatic figure's appearance? Was it mere coincidence that Damien's doppelganger entangled himself with their circle? Jameson posed a formidable adversary. Who else wielded such terrifying influence over him? After a serious discussion, Cyrus prepared to take his leave. Jasper and Alyssa bid him farewell, but suddenly, Lauren dashed over, her coat forgotten. See Cyrus, wait. Cyrus turned to see Lauren rushing toward him, a pang of concern gripping his heart. What if you catch a cold? Go back inside. I'm not cold. Don't worry. Lauren's cheeks flushed as she spoke earnestly. Cyrus, I finished the teddy bear cake you gave me last time. It smelled delightful. Oh, it's no trouble. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Cyrus's smile was warm. Lauren bit her lip and handed him a rolled up piece of paper. T, this is for you. Thank you for getting me the cake. Cyrus was taken aback as he accepted the gift and carefully unrolled it. It was a portrait of him, a charming caricature capturing his essence. It was lively and endearing, and he cherished it. Wow. It's uncanny, Cyrus. Alyssa exclaimed, peering at it in wonder. Jasper nodded. It does look like you. Chapter 1827. I made this artwork too hastily. It's rather rough. It could have been more intricate. Lauren felt embarrassed, thinking her art was too ugly to be given. No way. It's really good. Cyrus tried to maintain his composure, but he was so excited that his voice wavered slightly. Thank you, Lauren. I love it. Oh, by the way. He reached into the car and retrieved a neatly packaged candy apple, his ears turning red with embarrassment. I saw a candy apple stand on the way here and couldn't resist. I haven't eaten it. Let me give it to you. Alyssa narrowed her eyes in confusion. Knowing Cyrus' love for food, it seemed unlikely that he would still have the candy apple if he'd been craving it so much. It was clear he had bought it for Lauren but was too shy to admit it. A candy apple. A spark lit up Lauren's eyes. It was hard to believe that a wealthy girl like her had never experienced this common street snack. Javier and Sofia had kept her sheltered at home due to her illness. She had a driver for school, rarely venturing out with friends like other girls would. Moreover, Javier had a disdain for street food, so while she had seen candy apples before, she had never tasted one. Cyrus opened the packaging and handed the candy apple to Lauren. He asked lightly, "Want to give it a try?" Initially shy, Lauren couldn't resist the temptation. She stuck her tongue out like a curious kitten and took a lick. "Oh, it's sweet." Cyrus felt a surge of joy welling up within him. A genuine smile, born from the depths of his heart, crept into the corners of his eyes. Lauren's innocent expression was like the candy apple on a stick, slowly melting away under his intense gaze. A genuine smile, born from the depths of his heart, crept into the corners of his eyes. Lauren's innocent expression was like the candy apple on a stick, slowly melting away under his intense gaze. If he could, he would buy her candy apples all the time from now on. Cyrus repeated his silent confession 1,000 times in his heart. Yet, bit by bit, he pushed the thought aside. His confession dissipated into the breeze with his gentle smile. As night descended, Jasper and Alyssa shared a shower together. Alyssa sat before the mirror, a towel enveloping her body, while Jasper assisted in blow-drying her thick, dark hair. Her hair was thick, so it was hard to dry. Yet, Jasper displayed unwavering patience, meticulously tending to it with each session. Once her hair was tended to, Jasper encircled her shoulders with both hands. He placed gentle kisses on her shoulder, marking her as his own. Alyssa felt a lustful desire and couldn't help but raise her head to search for his lips. Their kiss ignited a blaze of passion. After their lovemaking, Jasper carried Alyssa to the bathroom. He settled her into the bathtub using the shower head to rinse her off. "Jasper," Alyssa called out to him softly. "Hmm." Jasper continued rinsing her body, leaning in for a kiss. "Do you think Landon or Cyrus would be better for Lauren?" Alyssa traced his lips with her fingertips. "I want your unbiased opinion." Jasper's gaze darkened. "Lice, are you trying to get Lauren and Cyrus together?" "Not really." Alyssa shook her head. "I just want Lauren to be happy. Landon is passionate, while Cyrus is laid back. They're equally matched in looks, ability, and background. Either could be a good fit for Lauren." Jasper held her waist, drawing closer until their lips met in a charged atmosphere. "But I think my sister has a romantic spirit. She should choose whomever she's drawn to. That's what matters most." Alyssa pursed her lips, nodding in agreement. No matter how fitting the match might seem, Lauren's feelings were paramount. Yet, Alyssa couldn't shake her fear that the Harpers might once again cause harm to the innocent Lauren. As they returned to the room, Jasper's phone buzzed just as they prepared to rest. "Who is it?" Alyssa yawned. Jasper's eyes widened. "It's Landon." Chapter 1828. Jasper tightened the grip on his phone. "Lice, I need to answer Landon's call." "Go ahead," Alyssa gently said. Jasper had always been transparent with his calls in front of her. There were no secrets between them. But Alyssa understood that this call was important for both Landon and Jasper. Jasper rose and made his way to the living room. Standing by the window, he answered with concern, "Landon, how are you holding up? Are you okay? Jasper?" After a prolonged pause, Landon's voice came through, strained as if he hadn't had water in days. "I miss Lauren so much." Jasper felt a pang in his chest. "Don't worry. Lauren is with Grandpa. We're taking care of her. She's safe." "Jasper, can I still be with Lauren? Can I still marry her?" Landon's question held a desperate tone. Jasper's throat constricted, he was momentarily speechless. While he knew Landon was deeply in love with Lauren, he couldn't predict if Lauren would choose him. Chapter 1829. Just then, Ben called. Jasper promptly answered, "What's the matter, Mr. Gorham?" "Mr. Jasper, is it a good time to speak?" Ben said. "Go ahead, Mr. Gorham." "What is it?" "Mr. Javier arrived this morning and took Ms. Lauren back to Seaview Manor." A shadow crossed Jasper's face. "I thought Grandpa wanted Lauren's company a little while more. Why was her time with him cut short?" "Mr. Javier went to the study room with Mr. Newton. I'm not sure what they talked about, but they ended up fighting." Ben sounded worried. "Ms. Lauren heard everything. She had always been the most obedient in the family, so she agreed to follow Mr. Javier back. As a secretary, I can't intervene, but I hope you'll give Ms. Lauren some extra attention when you return tonight." Jasper sensed Ben's implication. "Did you catch what Dad and Grandpa were arguing about?" Chapter 1830. Betty's rage surged like a rabid animal as she barked at Lauren, her fury palpable. But as Lauren glanced up, she noticed something she hadn't before: the hearing aids tucked behind Betty's hair, previously concealed from view. "Bitch. I'm deaf now. You won't get away with this before I'm gone. I'll make sure you suffer the same fate." Betty's words dripped with venom as she lashed out, her arm poised to strike at Lauren's face. Yet, to Betty's surprise, Lauren, once her victim, deftly evaded her attack, delivering a crisp slap in retaliation, the first time the latter had ever raised a hand against the former. The passing maid, initially startled, couldn't help but feel a sense of satisfaction. Lauren had finally asserted herself. Betty scowled as she held her face. It was the first time Lauren had ever laid a hand on someone. It didn't hurt, but it shattered Betty's ego. Chapter 1831. Betty's relentless mocking made Lauren pale considerably. Her delicate frame shuddered even more. Lauren shut her eyes tightly, wringing her teddy bear until it was twisted out of shape. Only by doing this could she force herself not to think about those haunting memories. "You couldn't become Mrs. Harper, but soon you will be Mrs. Hodgson, the mayor's daughter-in-law. It seems like congratulations are in order." Betty flipped her hair, acting disgustingly pretentious like Sophia. "However, I'm not getting any wedding gifts for you. If you don't shut your mouth right now, I'm going to make your right ear completely deaf." Jasper's rage was evident from his scowl. "But it's the truth, isn't it? She's going to marry into the Hodgson family. There's no point yelling at me like this." Jasper stalked toward her menacingly like a prowling lion. "Ah, Help. Dad, save me. Jasper is going to kill me. Betty threw away all decorum and screamed at the top of her lungs. Chapter 1832. Lauren curled up in a dust-filled corner. It was the height of summer, but she was so cold that she shivered. At this time, Freddy, who had been standing aside, quietly walked up to her. He took off his jacket and knelt to cover her shoulders with it. She was about to say thank you when she realized that he was blatantly staring at her chest. Her small, developing breasts could be seen through her soaked shirt, and even her white bra was visible. In her panic, she screamed weakly and hugged her chest with her shuddering arms. Lauren, let me touch them for a bit, all right? Just a bit, no one will know. Freddy said those disgusting words with such sincerity, like a devil's manipulative persuasion. When she recalled those memories, it still plunged Lauren into a deep pit of depression and fear. I know why you want to marry off Lauren so desperately. Jasper's fists clenched tightly, and his knuckles turned white. If you were angry, you could have taken it out on me. Chapter 1833. You don't agree. Javier's expression darkened coldly. His menacing glare was devoid of any warmth or affection a father would have for his son. Jasper, I am not dead yet, but are you already thinking of taking over my duties? If I didn't give you the chance, would you even be able to become the president of Beckett Group? It seems like you've become arrogant. Do you really think that you achieved everything by your own merit? Facing his father's insults, Jasper was more worried for Lauren than angry at his father. If Lauren really married into the Hodgson family, he couldn't imagine what kind of crazy things Landon would do after he found out. Perhaps he would spiral into depression. Perhaps he would be so crushed that he would never recover from his heartbreak. Lauren was not strong and brave like Alyssa, who would stand up for herself. She was the most obedient child among the siblings. She was gentle and weak, accepting whatever obstacles life threw at her without protest. Besides, she was the one who initiated the breakup. Your brother is just ill, he's not dead yet. Don't think that just because you're the president and Newton favors you, you can do whatever you want without Acaray in the world. You insolent brat, how dare you defy your own father and rebel against my decisions again and again? Javier's thinly veiled threats continued. A few days ago, I went to Mosgravia to visit Justin. He looks much better than before. Jasper's eyes narrowed as a glint appeared in his dark gaze. Justin told me that when he gets better, he'll return and reunite with our family again. Javier looked down at Jasper, his words dripping with menace. Your grandfather and I always prioritized the eldest son. Justin has just been away for too long and has become distant from us, which is why you had the chance to showcase your abilities to Newton. When he's back, Newton will surely compensate him out of guilt. By that time, who knows whether you'll still have a place in Beckett Group. You'd better think about that carefully. In the middle of the night, Xavier brought his investigations on Harper Group to meet Jasper. Smoke curled lazily around them in the study. Jasper's slender, calloused fingers held a cigarette while he studied the documents intently. His gaze was mysterious and dark, concealing his emotions. Seeing that the ashtray was almost full, Xavier couldn't help but sigh. Mr. Beckett, I know you're feeling upset, but to smoke so much like this, it might reduce your sperm count. Jasper arched an eyebrow, and his icy gaze bore into Xavier's eyes. Are you a sex therapist? Or are you a nosy know-it-all? Xavier pretended to cough. No, no, I'm just a dumb idiot. He sighed again. Madame Alyssa hates the smell of smoke, you know this as well. I was just worried that when you return home, she'll get angry if she smells smoke on you. These 2 days, I'll be at Seaview Manor accompanying Lauren. I've already told Lice. The mental image of Alyssa with her hands on her hips, pouting and nagging him made his heart beat faster and his blood run wild. How he wished he could pull her into his arms and dominate her, entangling their limbs the whole night. Mr. Beckett, you must be in a terrible mood. If it weren't so bad, you wouldn't have resorted to smoking behind her back. Xavier asked out of concern, what's going on? Xavier, there are no issues with these documents. Send them to Mr. Harper later. Jasper's tone was neutral. Yes. Since Jasper wasn't willing to share, Xavier refrained from probing. Also, hand over your duties to others for the time being. Focus on your investigations on the Hodgson family. Xavier asked, the Hodgsons. Jasper narrowed his eyes. Orlander Hodgson. Xavier's eyes widened. The mayor. Start from Orlander, then his wife and his son Freddy. Investigate as much as you can, gather every piece of information. When he finished talking, a light knock sounded on the door. Jasper, are you there? It's Lauren. Jasper stood up and hurriedly went over to open the door. Lauren stood awkwardly outside the door in the dark, wringing her fingers. Lauren, it's so late. Why aren't you asleep yet? Jasper asked gently. She pursed her lips. Jasper, can I tell you something? Of course, come in. Jasper invited her in as Xavier left the room to give them privacy. Lauren, don't take what Dad said to heart. No matter what, I will not let you marry into the Hodgsons. Alyssa will not agree either. Jasper. Before he finished his words, Lauren lowered her head and spoke up, You and Alyssa have done a lot for me. It's enough. About my matters, you guys don't need to worry about me anymore. Jasper's heart sank. Lauren, what do you mean? Lauren felt tears pricing her eyes. She blinked hard, forcing her tears back. I'll listen to Dad. I'll marry into the Hodgson family. Chapter 1834. Lauren, what in the world are you saying? Jasper, who was usually calm and composed, reacted in shock. He placed his hands heavily on her shoulders. Marriage is not child's play. This is a matter of your lifelong happiness. Do you not know what kind of person Freddy is? Did you not see how he was acting intimately with Zoe? Aren't you worried that this might be a plot from Zoe to mess with you and Landon? Lauren let him shake her shoulders as tears rolled in her eyes along with the shaking. Did you really fall out of love with Landon? Look into my eyes and tell me. Do you really not love Landon anymore? Jasper's brows knitted together tightly as he bombarded her with questions. Jasper, I'm a grown woman. I'm no longer the child who locked herself in her room all day, not daring to speak to anyone. I'm no longer the girl whose only companions were drawing blocks and dolls. Lauren's voice was soft, but her resolve was firm. I know what I'm doing, I know what I want. Jasper's voice trembled. Is marrying Freddy what you want? Since I can't be with Landon anymore, who I marry doesn't matter. Who said that you can't be together with him? He loves you so much that he can give up everything. As long as you don't give up. Jasper, I'm tired. Lauren's face sank as she shook her head lifelessly. If Landon betrayed his family and gave up his inheritance for me, I would never be able to live with this guilt. Even if I stayed with him, I would not feel happy. But if I don't marry into the Hodgson family, I fear I will not have a day of peace. I'm scared. I'm even more scared that I'll bring trouble to Landon and hurt Angelina. Breaking up is the best outcome for us. Jasper slowly let her go. He couldn't swallow the bitterness in his throat, just as he couldn't find any words to say. That day, when Angelina returned the pearl hair clip to Landon, he became seriously ill. The combination of heartbreak and shock made him throw up blood. After a checkup at the hospital, they found that he had severe gastritis. It was a result of his irregular schedule and frequent consumption of alcohol during business gatherings. This time, his gastritis worsened, so he had to be hospitalized. However, aside from Angelina and Jordan, no one knew about it. Landon was officially the chairman of Harper Group. However, he didn't even arrive on time for the very first board meeting. In the meeting room, Cornelia sat at the main seat and glanced at the empty seat beside him with annoyance. This is the first meeting, but Mr. Landon isn't even here. The audacity. See, the tyrant isn't an empty title. Now that he'd successfully gained power, eventually, he won't even give a shit about Mr. Cornelius. It's too early to joke about this. Mr. Preston was just defeated, he's not dead yet. If Mr. Landon continues like this, when Mr. Cornelius finally has enough, the position of chairman might belong to Mr. Preston again. As Preston listened to the surrounding gossip about Landon, he couldn't help but grin. Underneath the table, he was texting Zoe. Zoe, I really need to thank you properly about this matter once I have time. You're too kind, Uncle Preston. It's just such a shame that I couldn't kick that little brat from the chairman's position. The old man still favors him. Truly, what a shame. Uncle Preston, a watched pot never boils. You lose to Landon because you're too impatient. She continued texting, I heard that Lauren and Landon have broken up. Landon was so upset that he got hospitalized, but I don't know what is the cause of his hospitalization. The Beckett family released a statement that they will never let Lauren marry into our family. Not only that, Mayor Hodgson and his wife brought Freddie along to the Beckett's house to ask for Lauren's hand in marriage. They've been quite cozy with each other. When Lauren and Freddie have confirmed their wedding date, Landon will be so crushed that he will never recover. He won't be able to retaliate. By then, it will be your time to take revenge. Preston's eyes shone with excitement. He was about to reply to Zoe when suddenly a loud bang rang through the room, nearly startling him out of his seat. Landon's wide shoulders were covered with a sable fur coat. His hands were in the pockets of his black patterned blazer. His domineering yet classy demeanor made everyone hold their breath. With one kick, the door swung open. Landon bore an expression of indifference and arrogance. His intimidating presence made Preston look like a pitiful bug that could get squished with just a finger. "Sorry, I woke up late." Landon yawned. Preston saw that he looked alert and healthy. Aside from looking a little pale, he was fine. Preston felt disappointed and chuckled. "Ha ha. Mr. Landon, you are really quite impressive. You just took over, and you're already shaking things up." Cornelius frowned. Although the Harper group was never the most uptight, Landon was too unruly. "Let's cancel today's meeting. Grandpa and Preston can stay. The rest can leave." Landon stared at everyone coldly, and his gaze stared daggers at Preston's enraged, ruddy complexion. "Landon, this is outrageous. How can you call your uncle by his first name?" Cornelius glared at him and slapped the table with his palm. Landon snickered, "Then what should I call him?" "Prepelin." Preston almost choked in anger. "Landon." Cornelius banged the table again. "If you don't make everyone leave, can you bear to watch what I'll do later?" Landon leaned on the table with both arms, flexing his muscles as a wicked smile lifted his lips. "If you insist on protecting Prepelin, then I won't hold back in front of everyone." No one said a word in the huge meeting room. There wasn't a person who wanted to miss out on this juicy gossip, but they didn't dare to stay as well in case they got into the line of fire. Cornelius couldn't ignore Landon's threats, and he knew Landon's temper very well. If Landon was threatened, he wouldn't hesitate to light Harper Group on fire. Hence, he could only order the board to leave. Soon, only the three Harpers were left in the room. "Landon, why did you make such a big ruckus?" Preston asked angrily. Landon pulled out a chair and sat leisurely. He tapped his finger against the table without a rhythm, and his smile was sharp and malicious. "I want Preston to get the fuck out of Harper Group." Chapter 1835. Landon's words dropped a bomb in the meeting room. Face reddened, Preston slammed his hand on the table and bellowed, "Landon Harper, are you kicking me out? Are you fucking asleep? You were a baby when I was working alongside your grandpa." The uncle and nephew finally had a fallout as there were no outsiders around. "Landon, don't cross the line." Cornelius chastised his grandson, whom he deemed insane. "I know what's in your mind. You're just trying to avenge Lauren. At the end of the day, you're a Harper and the president of the Harper Group. Your dad had contributed to the company's success too. How can you answer Bill if you make a mess in the company? Besides, your uncle Preston did not do anything wrong. Lauren has mental issues. Are you sure you can take care of her forever after you married her? You don't have that patience, you can never do it. You should end your relationship now rather than regretting it in the future. Grandpa, I have just one question for you." Landon stubbornly went off tangent, ignoring Cornelius' remark. "Do you agree with my decision to kick Preston Harper out of the company? How could you demand a director to leave the board without undergoing due process? You're not serious. Do you take the company as a clubhouse, thinking that you can get anything you want with an order? Cornelius barked at him. Fine. Landon leaned into his chair and raised his voice. Jordan, come in. Jordan, seemingly appearing from thin air, shuffled to his side. Yes, Mr. Landon. Grandpa, your birthday is in a few months, isn't that right? Well, it's not your 80th birthday, but I have a big gift for you. Taking a leather envelope from Jordan's hand, he tossed it in front of Cornelius. Cornelius picked up the envelope with a frown. He took out a stack of photos from within. Every single photo was him holding and hugging hot ladies on a luxury cruise. If any one of them leaked, he would be publicly humiliated. Preston had wandered over to take a peek, only to be yelled at by Cornelius. Back off. Then, Cornelius turned to Landon, his cheeks twitching in anger. What do you want to do? Grandpa, you're really something. You're still a Casanova at this age, just as charming as you used to be. Landon took a cigarette out of the box and shoved it between his lips. Jordan immediately helped light the cigarette. Landon added, too bad that greed is endless. At your age, you should focus on taking care of your health. Preston instantly formed a guess about the photos, which sent a shiver down his spine. The cruise meeting was tightly protected with armed security. How did Landon manage to shoot photos of the event? If you refuse to agree to my demands, I will have no choice but to distribute the photos. The public can have a good look at my charming grandpa. Squinting, Landon took a long drag of the cigarette before putting it out. Trembling violently, Cornelia seethed. You, these are not all. Oh, trust me, I have a lot of dirt on you. Landon lazily puffed a smoke ring, eyes half closed. Every single one of the evidence might land you in jail for life. Landon Harper, are you fucking mad? Grandpa raised you from when you were a kid. How could you stab him in the back over a woman? You're an ingrate, you're worse than an animal. Preston could not believe the lengths that Landon had gone to. Lauren isn't just any woman. She's my wife, and she'll be my only wife in this life. Landon held back his tears. I'm just fulfilling my duty as a husband. Whoever bullies my wife will pay a price. Even if Lauren dumped him one day, he'd still love her as much as before. Even if they had to be separated, he'd always see her as his wife. At the same time, Cornelius pressed a hand on his chest after being threatened by Landon. Landon had gone mad. How could he turn the Harper Group upside down for a woman? Chapter 1836. Grandpa, I know you are an expert at weighing pros and cons. I have laid out my cards. Please take your time to consider your choice. After that, Landon slowly rose from his seat and rubbed out the cigarette on the tabletop. Stop! Cornelius called out to Landon. In a shaking voice, he obliged, I agree. I agree to your conditions. Dad, I sacrificed so much for the Harper Group. How could you do this to me to protect yourself? Preston's eyes bulged from surprise. That's enough. Don't flatter yourself. Shameful and enraged, Cornelius growled, you and I know who's the one who made real sacrifices for Harper Group. It was Bill Landon's dad, your brother. Even without these scandalous photos, I have plans to kick you out anyway. Did you really think I was clueless about your crimes behind my back? I was merely turning a blind eye because I couldn't be bothered. I'll take the chance today to get rid of a thorn in my side. You do not have to report to work at Harper Group anymore. From now on, you have nothing to do with the board of directors and the annual shareholders meeting. Cornelius was great at giving himself an out. You're turning your back on me. Preston stomped in anger. Despite his age, he reverted to a child whenever he threw a fit in front of his father. He seemed truly agitated and worried this time. Cornelius barked at him, "Get lost right now." Preston knew that no amount of argument would turn his situation around. He had no choice but to glare at Cornelius before leaving in defeat. He slammed the door behind him as he left. Landon asked flatly, "When are we issuing the official notice of Preston's termination?" "Within this week." Landon cast a dangerous squint at Cornelius, who immediately changed his mind. "It'll be done tomorrow morning." "Great. I shall wait for the good news." Landon left the meeting room in great strides as Jordan followed closely behind him. "Landon, I watched you grow up. Even your mom does not know you as well as I do in this family." Cornelius rasped from behind. "You're not a good match with Lauren, be it in family status or your personality. Lauren is too timid. She cannot take charge of the family, not to mention reining you in. Without a capable woman to support you and take care of the company, you will suffer in your career. Sooner or later, your useless feelings of love will wear out under the test of reality." Landon paused in his tracks but did not turn around. He stated, "I choose the woman I love. Save your worries. I am capable enough to shoulder everything. All Lauren needs is to stay by me." Alyssa had been approving documents for the entire afternoon in her office at the KS Group headquarters. When she was done, she sighed and stretched. At that moment, she received a call from Silas. "Hey, Silas, I thought you forgot about me ever since you're with Rose. What makes you call me?" Rose lounged on the couch. "Lice, I have a question." After a pause, Silas whispered, "Have Landon and Lauren broken up?" The look in her eyes grew vacant. "Why the sudden question? And how did you learn about it? Wait. Is it true?" Shocked, Silas mused, "Seems that the incident dealt a huge blow to them." "Stop going around in circles, Silas. Get to the point. I attended the wedding of a fellow prosecutor's son. The wedding was grand, even Mayor Hodgson and his wife were in attendance. I overheard the mayor stating that his son is soon to be engaged with Lauren." "What?" Alyssa sat up on the couch. Her eyes widened in disbelief. Who's getting engaged with Lauren? Is it Mayor Hodgson's son?" At the same time, Sean knocked on her door and entered the office with a stern expression. "Ms. Alyssa, I have something to report to you." Chapter 1837. Alyssa felt her chest tighten. She motioned at Sean to come over before pressing Silas, "Are you sure?" "Mayor Hodgson has always been prudent. He won't make things public unless it's been confirmed. That's how he managed to enjoy a smooth political career." Silas' tone took a turn. That's why I believe the news is true. Lice, is this an arranged marriage? Is Lauren willing to marry a man she doesn't love? Will she be happy? The idea of Lauren agreeing to it was preposterous. Something was fishy. Grandpa and Javier aren't satisfied with Landon, but they hate Harper Group even more. Even so, Lauren shouldn't marry Freddie Hodgson. Lice, do you know Mayor Hodgson's son? Lice cracked her fingers angrily. You can tell he's not a good egg just by looking at that bastard's face. Silas and Sean grew speechless. Anyway, thanks for giving me the huge update. I'll make your favorite beef Wellington when I'm back home. After the call, Alyssa took a few deep breaths to gather herself. She turned to Sean. Sean, what's up? Ms. Alyssa, you wanted me to keep tabs on Betty Beckett. Our men tailed her until she arrived at the international airport in Zinfonia. She was picked up from the airport and is now in Mosgravia. Sean continued with a stern look in his eyes. Zinfonia is a poor and chaotic country, while Mosgravia is a developed country with plenty of entertainment. I bet someone couldn't bear to see Betty suffer and secretly had her transported to Mosgravia. It can only be Javier's action. He probably felt bad for Betty and, at the same time, wanted to create trouble for Jasper. Alyssa seemed rather distracted because of Lauren, who was currently in trouble. Ms. Alyssa, you remember who's in Mosgravia, don't you? Sean reminded her with a serious look. A cold gleam appeared in her eyes. You mean Justin Beckett? As he has never shown up, we are absolutely in the dark about his standing in the Beckett family, his character, and his relationship with the other family members. I worry that Justin will accord Betty the best treatment in Mosgravia. If that happens, Mr. Beckett's efforts would go down the drain. Sean's face was clouded with worries. Pursing her lips, she replied, I don't think that'll happen. It's been years since Justin Beckett was in touch with the other family members. It wasn't until the last 2 years that he began to get in touch with Jasper. Over the years, he did not maintain contact with Betty, his half-sister. He would have lent her a hand if he had wanted to. What's the point of helping her in secret? Deep in thought, Sean nodded in agreement. Besides, whether or not Justin helps Betty is the least of my concerns. I am more interested in her health condition. Alyssa snickered. Ms. Alyssa, no worries. Our men have arrived in Mosgravia, and they'll keep an eye on her. Growing anxious, Alyssa checked the time on her wristwatch. Sean, get the car ready. Where are you headed to? The thought of Jasper sent a warm current across her body. With tears brimming in her eyes, she replied, I'm picking up Jasper from work. As night fell, the city came alive amidst the twinkling lights. Chapter 1838. After the meeting, Javier and Jasper headed toward the entrance of the Beckett Group building with their secretaries under the protection of their security guards. A father and son were supposed to be close, but the two of them behaved like strangers, not speaking to each other on the trip. Come with me to Southsmire on my private jet later. I've invited Darren Daneman for golf tomorrow morning, and I have a business cocktail party in the afternoon. These events will play a huge role in our future expansion and project launches in Southsmire. Jasper was about to reply, but he was interrupted by a jarring honking. A Rolls-Royce with the Spirit of Ecstasy mascot on its bonnet came to a stop in front of Jasper and Javier. Jasper squinted at the car as his heart raced. When the car door opened, Javier heard a melodious voice from within, even though he couldn't make out the figure seated in it. "Mr. Javier, you don't mind me picking up Jasper from work, do you?" Javier's breathing grew heavy upon recognizing Alyssa's voice. Before he could say a thing, Jasper had eagerly hopped into the car without even saying goodbye to him. After Jasper joined Alyssa in the car, he held her hand and gently kissed her on the back of her hand. His lips rubbed and caressed her smooth skin with much affection. Javier's expression fell. He thought, how shameless and brash of him to do so. "I'm sorry, Mr. Javier." Jasper held Alyssa by her waist and stated, "I'm afraid I can't travel with you to Southsmire to golf with Mr. Daneman." "Jasper Beckett, do not forget your role." Javier's expression hardened. Gritting his teeth, he hissed, "The partnership with Southsmire will be crucial to the company's expansion in the southern cities by the sea. You can date any time you like, but how could you prioritize romance over the company's interest? This project is very important. You're showing yourself unfit as the company president. It took me nearly 5 years to lead the Beckett Group to become the top company in Solana City and make myself the top tycoon. This is all to boost our stature in business negotiation. I'm not going to play boring golf and attend boring parties just to ink deals," Jasper declared. Staring lovingly at Alyssa and kissing her on the temple, he said softly, "I'd rather spend time with my love than waste my time in Southsmire." Upon hearing that, Javier clutched his fists spitefully as rage pulsed through his veins. Alyssa gracefully craned to peer at Javier through the car window. She remarked, "Mr. Javier, you may cancel the trip if it is to discuss the late-night district commercial project with Darren Daneman of Oceanic Incorporated." Frowning, Javier questioned, "What do you mean?" 3 days ago, Mr. Daneman had agreed to jointly launch the project with the KS Group. Beaming brightly, she quipped, "There, I saved you from taking a trip. What did you say? How is that possible?" Javier looked shell-shocked. Unlike Javier, Jasper looked calm. "Mr. Daneman is a close acquaintance of Mr. Winston. Oceanic Incorporated has worked with the KS Group on more than one occasion. I researched these facts before, but you never believe in my words." After Jasper closed the car door, the Rolls-Royce sped away, leaving Javier freezing on the spot. Chapter 1839. Right after the Rolls-Royce departed, Alyssa's expression hardened as she punched Jasper in the chest. "Lice, be gentle. I don't want you to hurt yourself," Jasper cautioned her, his voice trembling from her strength. Sean, who was in the driver's seat, stole a glance at them from the rearview mirror and stifled a laugh. "Jasper, I have a question for you." She poked his chest and asked angrily, "Did you know about the arranged marriage between Lauren and the Hodgson son?" His eyes wavered. Grasping her hand, he wondered, "Lice, how did you hear about it? How could you ask that question?" "I think half of the city has heard about it by now." Alyssa then proceeded to relay Silas' update to Jasper. "Damn it." Enraged, he punched the car window. By publicly announcing the news, the Hodgson family is pressuring Javier into finalizing the marriage. They're being delusional. What era are we in now? They can't possibly force Lauren to marry Freddie. Clenching her jaw, she said, if Lauren refuses to marry, not even the president can make her. But Lauren agreed to the marriage. What? But why? Alyssa and Sean gasped in unison. Lauren said that being with Landon was too burdensome. Alyssa remarked, that's a lie. Lauren thought that she'd only attract trouble for Landon and Angie if she kept dating him. She refused to be a burden to her lover. Well, if so, she can leave Landon. Why does she have to marry Freddie? Looking skeptical, Alyssa surmised, has Mr. Javier pressured her? What did he say to her? After some thinking, Jasper rasped, I got into a fight with Javier in front of Lauren over the arranged marriage with the Hodgsons. I might have given her a scare. This time, it was Alyssa's turn to punch the car window. Fortunately, the solid build of the Rolls-Royce was able to withstand their tantrums. Tearing up, Alyssa struggled to breathe from the heartache. She lamented, oh, Lauren. That was to protect you. She then explained, Lauren must be worried that Mr. Javier would hold a grudge against you and hit back at you in the future, taking away the success you had fought for. As she was defenseless and vulnerable, she couldn't support you in any way other than to risk her happiness. That was the only way she could protect her beloved brother. Oh, Lauren, you silly girl. Jasper, tormented by pain, shook his head. We can't have her marry Freddie. Never. Infuriated, Alyssa cussed, son of a bitch. I'd rather Lauren marry Cyrus than that good-for-nothing Freddie Hodgson. I'd rather keep a nice young lady like Lauren for my family. Jasper pursed his lips. He wondered, Lice, do you think Landon stands a chance to get back with Lauren? I have no idea. A relationship is always the hardest to grasp and make sense of. Resting in Jasper's arms, Alyssa sighed softly. Lauren and Landon might encounter more obstacles than us. Let's settle the immediate issue before discussing any further. The day after Cornelius and Landon struck a deal, Preston's termination notice was immediately emailed to the inboxes of all company employees. The notice stated that Preston was relieved of all his roles in the company and removed as a director. From then on, he had become an unemployed bum who had nothing to do with the Harper Group except when it came to receiving his annual company stock bonus. Feeling depressed, Preston gathered his friends at night to have fun and release his frustration at the Millennium, a famous luxurious entertainment establishment in Solana City. Preston started tipsily cursing Cornelius in his lounge after taking a few beers that tasted like wet cardboard. He accused Cornelius of being a wolf in sheep's clothing who'd sell out anyone to protect his interest. His friends had no choice but to comfort him, assuring him that he would one day make a comeback. As one of the bigger shareholders, it was only a matter of time before Preston made his return to the Harper Group and kicked out Landon. I heard burp there's a hot chick named Amber Altman at the Millennium. Rumors had it that she was fucking gorgeous. Get her here to drink with me. Preston, completely smashed, ordered the shift manager. Sorry, Mr. Preston. Ms. Altman only serves the VIPs. I'm afraid you can't meet her, the shift manager explained with a polite smile. Preston glowered at the shift manager. What the fuck is that nonsense? Am I not a VIP? Well, but you were terminated from your role in Harper Group earlier today. You feeling shameful? Preston couldn't believe that the Millennium was so up to date. Our last customer who made a scene like you ended up in bad shape. The Millennium covered his medical costs, but physical injuries are nothing compared to the humiliation. Don't you agree? Who was that customer? Josh Schmidt. Preston instantly went silent. He thought, fuck. I guess a man is fair game after he's lost his power. Meanwhile, Amber carefully monitored Preston's lounge from the security control room. At that moment, one of her subordinates rushed over. Ms. Altman, another customer has arrived. His car is entering the underground parking now. She asked absent-mindedly, and who is that? Landon Harper, the president of Harper Group. Chapter 1840. A look of shock flashed across Amber's eyes. She stated, according to the rules, the Millennium does not take in customers without a reservation. But Mr. Moses just called. He would like us to host Mr. Landon. The subordinate lowered his voice. Not only that, Mr. Moses would want you to monitor Mr. Landon's movements tonight. Make a copy of the security footage as evidence if anything unusual occurs. Amber, who had served Jameson for many years, instantly understood his intentions. She coldly replied, "Got it?" She shifted her attention back to the screen after the subordinate left. She watched as Landon's car entered the underground parking, followed by his entourage of luxury cars. Oddly, the cars came to a stop in the darkness without taking further action. Despite that, Amber had a feeling that their inactivity was merely the calm before the storm. At the same time, Preston's bodyguards assisted him into the underground parking because he was too drunk to walk straight. Legs limp and slurring, he did not once stop cursing out the Harper lineage, including Cornelius and Landon. He seemed to have momentarily forgotten that he was a Harper too. A strong beam of light blinded Preston and his men when they shuffled through the middle of the parking lot. He instinctively raised his arm to shield his eyes. Following that, a deafening screeching sound of car tires echoed in the empty area. MMR Preston, look out. When the drunk Preston belatedly came to the realization, a black Bentley had barreled in his direction, showing no intention of slowing down. The car seemed intent on running over him. In the face of impending danger, everyone else scampered away, none was willing to shield Preston. Arg, stop! Stop! Don't come at me! Arg! A chilling scream pierced through the silence. The Bentley braked when it was about 1 foot away from Preston. The car hood collided against his round belly, full from dinner. Though the impact did not send Preston flying through the air, he staggered backward for a few feet before falling hard to the ground. An excruciating pain shot through Preston's body. The delicacies that he enjoyed for dinner came up his throat as he vomited on himself. Despite the pain, he scrambled up from the ground. While vomiting, he retreated. He then yelled at his men, "What are you doing there? Fucking charge at them." While he was speaking, 10 fighters, clad in black and armed with knives, surrounded Preston and his men. Angelina, lovely but murderous, stepped out of the darkness and showed herself in front of Preston. Preston seemed to have understood something. He dug out his phone while screaming frantically, "What are you guys standing there for? Fight them!" Preston's bodyguards, knowing they had no way out, bit the bullet and charged at Angelina and her men. In the deep of the night, the sounds of painful screams and bone cracking echoed through the parking lot. The spacious area seemed like hell on earth at that moment. After the fighting, a deadly silence enveloped the people in the parking lot. Pools of blood had formed across the ground. Preston was bruised and bleeding from his mouth from being beaten up by Angelina. His expensive suit had been torn to tatters by the knife attacks. Angelina stepped on his back, forcing him to kneel on the ground. He begged for mercy, pleading that she spare him from the pain. At that moment, Jordan courteously opened the car door for Landon. Landon emerged and stepped over the pools of blood with great strides. He arrived in front of Landon and stood still. Despite his silence, he emanated an intimidating air. "Uncle Preston," Landon said in a frosty tone. Preston felt sick in his stomach. He trembled uncontrollably. In the past, he was resentful of Landon for disrespecting the elders in the family. However, the way Landon addressed him as Uncle Preston gave him goosebumps. "L. Landon. We're a family. I watched you grow up." Preston shed his arrogance and started pleading for dear life. "L., let's be civil about this. There's always room for discussion.